Sermons at Westminster Presbyterian Church, an intentionally inclusive community of faith in Worcester, Ohio.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. And I just want to make a disclaimer. A parishioner asked me if we can make this scripture reading a little bit more inclusive. Then I started out, and it became a nightmare. So I'm going to replace some of the he's with just she's, because, I mean, we all know that God is not bound by human thought. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, she will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever she hears, and she will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because she will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Creator has is mine. For this reason, I said that she will take what is mine and declare it to you. It's confusing. But so, therefore, I'm inviting you to live into the mystery of God today and not try to understand it. These past weeks have been, in many ways, a time of renewal for me. In my 18 years of ministry, I have never missed a Sunday due to illness. And with my Calvinistic work ethic, because we've got to blame somebody, so why not Calvin? It was extremely, I cannot tell you how difficult it was for me not to officiate at longtime Westminster members Mary Baird's funeral and to be out of worship for 2 weeks. The reality is that the challenge of being sick extends so much further than those initial feelings of guilt, because you cannot live up to your responsibility, and disappointment, as it touches one's pride, and I want to say even further, it kind of exposes one's arrogance and makes you face your own mortality. In the busyness of my everyday life and ministry and involvement in the community, I can't tell you how many times a day I pray some version of the prayer that I've read in the book, Worship in the Spirit of Jesus. And the prayer is, may we not walk sightless among miracles. May we notice the ground under our feet. May we not take our days for granted. May we hear the birds singing. May we slow down, slow down, slow down. In my time during my illness, I had no choice but to slow down, as my body, my physical strength, kept me confined in bed and couch for about 2 weeks. In the end, I had no choice but to let go. To let go of my pride and my self-sufficiency, and to accept help from my family, my friends, my church, my larger community, to do things for me. To let go of my yearning for things to be right, meaning for things to be my way, and to accept that there are many, many ways for things to be done. Although when it comes to mowing the lawn, there's only one way of doing it, boys. It is, what did you say? We've got to talk after worship. It is the strive for perfection that makes us arrogant and that kind of puts us always on the center of life, makes us overcritical of others, and make us less generous and less thankfulness. But it's God's invitation to let go that help us grow in generosity of others. To let go of my sometimes overinflated sense of importance. That's where arrogance come in. In my role within this church, within my family, within the larger community, and in the social justice movement, and to accept that there are many, many members in the human family. There are many, many people in a movement. And my over-functioning, doesn't do anybody good. It might do short-term gains, but in the long run, I burn out myself. But what's the worst of all, I take away from my fellow human siblings by doing work that's an invitation for them to grow into their Christian ministry. To let go of my certain sense of privacy, and this was huge. When you're sick, you have to let go of a certain sense of privacy. That our lives and health is all about me. And to realize that there is no such thing as me per se, as we all are part of a bigger family. We are part of a bigger whole, friends and community, where one experiences love, compassion, and support. And that, to me, was the spiritual invitation these past weeks to let go. To let go and to live within the moment and into the love, the compassion, and the support of this community and the bigger Worcester community. Very much at the heart of my experience, I feel, these past weeks was to experience the Trinity. That is God's nature as community, as love, and as relationship. As the mystic theologian Richard Rohr puts it, Trinity leads you into the world of mystery and humility where you cannot understand, you can only experience. To experience, to live into that mystery that is God, and to let go is then the invitation of this Trinity Sunday. To let go of who we are certain God to be, and to cultivate an openness to the one who is so far beyond the horizons of our imagining. One of the ancient desert fathers, Cassian, challenges us in saying, to let go of our image of God, the idols we cling so tightly, and to recognize that any image or pronouncement we can ever make about God is much too small to contain the divine. Even the word God, he says, is problematic because it carries with it so many interpretations and limits based on our cultural understanding. In the book of Job, God challenges Job's desire to understand and asks, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? God is never a set of concepts to be understood or grasped, but God is a relationship to encounter and to engage. Our gospel reading of today invites us then into this mystery of the Spirit and of Jesus and of the Creator, as it says, and as Jesus says in the scripture reading that He continues, God continues the ongoing presence and revelation of God within our midst, even after Jesus has gone to be with the Creator. Jesus says, the Spirit will declare to you the things that are to come, saying that Jesus encourages us to listen to the Spirit and to be open to newer and deeper understandings of our faith as God continues to speak within our midst, within the world we live in today. Like all humans, we often find ourselves clamoring for answers, clarity, security, and a desire to be right. Isn't that all of us? Especially a desire to be right. The Spirit says, if we want to be open to the fullness of God, we need to be able to let go and live into the face of the ultimate mystery that is God. Somehow this invitation to enter the divine community speaks to the very heart of who we desire to be as an intentional community or intentional inclusive community. South African pastor John van der Laar points out that one of the massive challenges facing our world today is competing ideas about God. And I don't only want to think of you for you to think about Christianity, but think of all religions and our competing thoughts about God. Then also, I want you to bring this to a local level. Think of some of the conflicts we see play out in the letters to the editor, for instance, when it comes to issues that's at the heart of our community of faith. At the very heart of some of these issues is competing ideas or thoughts about who God is. This does not only apply to religions and conflict, he says, but also to the way God is viewed from the perspective of sciences, physics, anthropology, sociology, and psychology. Within these competing visions of the divine lies the problem, he says, of human arrogance and the need to impose our visions on others. And even in our families, here at church, this is at the heart sometimes of what we struggle with. Human arrogance and our need to impose our visions on others. Ultimately, he says, when we believe that God is on our side, who or whatever that God might look like, from the warrior of the fundamentalist to the God of science, we easily deny the humanity, the wisdom, and all the worship of others. As followers of Jesus, then, we are offered a vision that denies us this arrogance. It makes our speaking and thinking about God hesitant and humble because we are forced to acknowledge the mystery behind the words and are invited to allow God's relational image within us to shine forth, leading us to see connection, mutuality, and love with all. Think about it. Humility and mutuality. Humility and mutuality. These are not two separate words, as they are based on each other and are necessary ingredients for any work of reconciliation, peacemaking, and problem solving in a world where the struggles we face are bigger than one person or one group. How do we enter the mystery that is God and allow these relationships to change us, to transform us, to become more humble and realize our place in the mutuality of the human family? Amen.
Thank you for sharing time with Westminster. You can learn more about our community of faith on our website at wpcworcester.org.